Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You may be saved through the confession and forgiveness found on page 95, and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. Page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 876, verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Let the whole creation cry, hymn 876, verses 1 and 3. Insert, or the first page of the bulletin itself. We pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith, hope, and love. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from the book of Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today comes from Psalm 65. We shall read it responsively. You visit the earth and water it.
You greatly enrich it.
The river of God is full of water.
You provide the people with grain.
For so you have prepared it.
Your water it furrows abundantly, settling its riches.
Softening it with showers and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty.
Your wagon tracks overflow with richness.
The pastures of the wilderness.
The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks.
The valleys deck themselves with grain.
They shout and sing together for joy.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the book of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in the Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending God's own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, God condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to God. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, God who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through the Spirit of God that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
gospel for today, this seventh Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. We stand each Sunday in honor of Christ in our midst, the word being spoken. But due to the length of the gospel today, I invite you to be seated so that you're not distracted by when is he going to be done. So be seated. You may follow along or simply listen. It's a long gospel. I included all the verses. A lot of churches cut out the whole middle section, but I thought it was important. So, Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun arose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. Yet anyone with ears, listen." Then his disciples came and asked Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and then trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. That person then immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of the wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm paper clipping this sermon on the pulpit so it doesn't blow away in case the air conditioner blows on. Yeah. That's a sign from God. Sermon's over. Say amen. I'm paper clipping it too, so you're going to get the full effect. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Let us pray now in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our and our Redeemer. Amen. The parable, or the story in today's gospel reading, is the easiest to interpret of all of Jesus' parables. Why, you ask? Because Jesus tells you what it means right there in the parable. Jesus interprets it for you. Yet, this is a very interesting story or parable to share in an agricultural community like southeastern Idaho. Because, listen to this, the soil is not cultivated prior to seeding. Don't know if you caught that. The soil was not cultivated prior to seeding. Now, whether you're growing a garden in your yard, I'm thinking of you, Ida, or a flower bed around your house, all you have to do is drive by the parsonage. My day lilies are finally blooming 8 weeks late. Or 1,000 acres of land into beets, or potatoes, or wheat. You know to prepare the soil. I even know that. As a wannabe gardener, as a wannabe farmer, I know to prepare the soil. I do it every fall, I do it every spring, in anticipation for the plants to grow. Is it hard clay-like soil? Or is it rocky soil like North Dakota? I began my ministry up near Canada and North Dakota, right over the state line in Montana. And every spring and every fall, they went out with a front loader and they picked rocks. We lived on the edge of the Missouri River. The Missouri River breaks. Think sturgeon, caviar. Beautiful land. Horrible to have to farm. Kind of like southeastern Idaho before the miracle of water and irrigation. Dry land reef farmers, twice a year, would go out and with a front loader, and they had piles and piles of rock, because that was the edge of the ice age. The Missouri River was the edge of the glacier, okay? And there were tons of gravel and rock there, and it rises to the top every time they plant a crop. So is your garden full of hard clay-like soil or rocky soil or sandy soil? I was thinking about sandy. It doesn't mention it in the gospel. I threw it in there, though. Think South Pleasant Valley Road. I wish the Allens were here. Okay? South Pleasant Valley Road and Rast Road. I heard about the sand dunes. The sand dunes of American Falls, and I didn't believe it because I came from Oregon where they have sand dunes on the coast, right? And sand buggies and all that kind of thing. Dune buggies. Well, all you have to do is drive out there at the right time of the year and you're sandblasted by the sand dunes blowing around. And I've seen them. Or is your land full of weeds? Don't drive by the parsonage. They're really showy, orange and yellow right now. They're on the downhill side. But my flower beds, I haven't had time the past 3 or 4 weeks to get in there and weed. They are full of weeds. Full of weeds. I actually had 3 members of the congregation come to me in the past 3 or 4 weeks saying, Pastor, you know you're growing noxious weeds. That's not legal in Idaho. And I thought, oh, but they'll be pretty. They'll be purple. Thistle, right? Thistle, purple, yeah? I had a whole hedge of them. I finally put my tail between my legs. I went out there. Yeah, you know who you are that told me. Yeah, you're growing noxious weeds. I put my tail between my legs. I went out there. 400 weeds. I filled up a whole dumpster load for the garbage men to haul away. 400 thistles. And I'm so proud of myself because I dug them up by the root. I went in there, I had a pair of gloves on. I was wearing a short sleeve shirt though. And I'm fragile and delicate, you know? You don't think so, but I am. Leather gloves I use for when I deal with cattle up in Montana. But from my wrists to my shoulders, I broke out in hives from the thistles and the prickers and all that. It lasted 2 or 3 days. I tried to get sympathy from my mother. She goes, well, why weren't you wearing a long sleeve shirt, dummy? I was like, well, gee, thanks. What is your ground like? Hard, clay-like, rocky, sandy, weeds, good soil? The purpose of the sower, if Jesus is the seed, the word of God, the word of the kingdom, then we say God's the sower, okay? And we're the ground. The purpose of the sower is simply to sow seed. It's not to prepare the soil. Think about that. Go home and read the bulletin. Take it home. Don't recycle it. Take it home. Read it again. The purpose of the sower is to sow seed only, the word of God. God's good news, God's gospel, the word of God is for everybody to receive. No matter what soil and kind of soil you are. My question for you is a question I asked in Sunday school class. What kind of ground or soil are you today? Right now. What kind of ground or soil are you today? Hard, rocky, sandy, weedy, good? I'll confess from the pulpit, I'm hard today. I'm hard pack. The seed's gonna bounce right off of me, and the birds are gonna eat it up. I'm no good. Now, you can ask me why a coffee hour or something, but I'm not gonna do that in the pulpit. I'm hard soil, but what kind of soil are you today? Because God's word, God's seed, Jesus, is for everybody to receive. And I think that's what's important. No matter who you are, where you come from, where you're going, what you look like, what you do, what you drive, notice the parking lot, by the way, God's seed is for everyone. This past week, you know that you were going to hear it. Last week, we had 5 days, Monday through Friday, of Vacation Bible School. We had 46 people involved in that program. 31 students, 8th grade and lower. Well, actually, 6th grade and lower. And then from the 7th and 8th grade on up, we had 15 helpers, 7th grade through 60-some years old, like me. 46 people came together. There were all kinds of soil this past week in this building. Hard, rocky, sandy, weedy, and good. And I'm always amazed at the week. I'm amazed because I'm not a father, I'm not a grandfather, I'm not an uncle, and there's a reason. I found that out this week, too. God knows what he's doing. He made me a bachelor. Whew. I'm not even an uncle. But I'm amazed when I see these 31 youth understanding. The light bulb goes off, and all of a sudden they go from thorny or hard or sandy to good soil, and they realize, God loves me. Mom and Dad may not love me. My brother and my sister may not love me today, but God loves me. And it's great to see the light bulb go off. Now, how long the light bulb's going to last, we know that they don't last forever. But it's great to see the light, that light illuminating their lives. And they sing a little bit brighter, and the snacks taste a little bit better, and all of the Bible stories are a little bit more understandable. There were all kinds of soil this past week. And it's amazing to see the change in people's lives. Even the 15 adults who helped out. It was amazing to see their change also during the week. Now, some of these kids I see once a year, not at Christmas, not at Easter, as much as I'd like to. I see them during Vacation Bible School. So once a year, I see some of these kids. And some of these kids have been coming now for 5 years, 2 years before the pandemic, and now 3 years since the pandemic, Holy Bible School. And they know me, and I know them. And there's a relationship there, and that's wonderful, because I'm not a parent, a grandparent, or an uncle. And I love children, especially when they love me back. When they don't, I'll have nothing to do with them. I can go home, right? I don't have to drive them anywhere. But we have that relationship. I saw the different types of soil all week long. There are always these two girls for the past 3 years that will stand in the back of the room, and they don't want to dance, and they don't want to sing, and that's fine. I don't make them do that. But by about the third day, I see them dancing in the back of the room against the back wall. And by the fourth day, they kind of even creep up a couple steps, and they're dancing with the group, and they're singing the songs. It's like, huh. Interesting. Or the little boys. Now, I don't know what we put in the water in American Falls and Aberdeen, but the little boys dance better than the girls do. You know, they move. They bust a move. The Cresses and the TDs and all those people, the Garians, it's amazing. Those boys know how to dance. It's like they were on American Bandstand or something, you know? For those of you who remember that. It's fun to watch them. As God feeds them with fertilizer. There's another name for that, by the way. But as God feeds them with fertilizer, they grow and they produce and they blossom. And it's amazing. It's amazing. God's good news, God's gospel, the word of God is for everyone to receive, no matter what kind of soil you are. True story. One of my roommates at seminary, I had multiple because I'm hard to live with. There's a reason I'm a bachelor. One of my roommates at seminary, the last one, best friend of mine, I've known him now for 42 years. He's a single guy too, adopted a son, all that stuff. He never went to church. Never was baptized. His family was unchurched. And one year, I think he was about 8 or 9. Been at Bible school with us. And he was doing nothing, it was summertime. So at 8 or 9 years old, he went to Bible school. And after that 1 week experience, he then started going to church by himself. He had a brother, he had a sister, he had a mother, single parent. They never went to church. He went to church and he became more faithful. And all of a sudden he was confirmed and baptized as a young man in 9th grade, as we used to do in the old Lutheran church. Confirmed, baptized, and then lo and behold, he became a school teacher at a Missouri Lutheran church school in Toledo, Ohio. He was from Michigan. And he thought, I think maybe I want to be a pastor. So the very first year that we went to seminary together, we were there. And he thought, I was a senior, I thought he was a 12-year-old brother of some, you know, student. But we became really good friends. Because of that one experience, because of that seed falling on rocky, hard, thorny, sandy soil, it took root. And he was confirmed and baptized, and then ordained, and has been a pastor for the past 37 years. Go figure. We are called to judge the soil. My question for you is, what kind of soil are you today? Hard, rocky, sandy, weedy, or good? The fact that you're all here means that you're good. I bet the Sunday school people this morning, I bet them $100 each. How about, there were five of us in there? So I would have been out $400. I said, I'll bet you $100 each that those, not one of those 31 kids will be in worship this morning. And then I realized, you know what? I bet you Charlie and Victoria will be here. Because they drag their parents every Sunday to church. Yeah, it's your fault. Mom was reading, I know, but you know, and Dad works in the balcony. I said, oops, forget the bet. And indeed, since I said that, and Charlie said, can I help you? And Victoria said, can I help you too? And I said, let's see how high you can reach. And she reached the top candle on the candelabra. Bless your heart. We are called to judge the soil. My yard is full of weeds. I was out there last night watering for the first time in a week and a half or 2 weeks, because it's going to get hot, they said. Yeah. And I looked at the dandelions in my yard and the thistle, and I thought, okay, they mowed it flat. My lawnmower guy, I'm putting through pharmacy school, by the way. That's my excuse for hiring a lawnmower guy. But I went out with my little weed picker, and I picked 3 or 4 dozen weeds. And I just left them laying there. I thought, I'm not even going to bend over. I can't bend over. You know, arthritis in my legs, arthritis in my back. I don't bend over anymore. So I just left them there. I thought, well, it doesn't look as nice as it did before, but at least it's weeded. We are called to judge the soil. God is the sower, the word of God, Jesus. And wherever it falls and is planted, who knows whether it'll take root or not. My roommate at seminary should never have been ordained and become a pastor. I mean, 99.9% of the odds are no. We had 31 kids in Vacation Bible School. 2 out of the 31, that means 29 are missing. I wish they were here with their families. If we had everybody that could come to church, we'd have 2 services a Sunday. 1 at 8 o'clock, 1 at 10:30. I promise you. We'd fill it up twice if everybody was here that needed to be here. But, Pastor Pete, get over yourself. Because you don't know how that seed's going to take root in the hard, rocky, sandy, weedy, or good soil of those 31 kids this past week, let alone the 15 adults. We aren't called to judge who should be in God's kingdom. We are called simply to know who we are. What kind of soil are you? And what kind of relationship are you with God? If you're hard, like Pastor B this morning, or rocky, or sandy, or weedy, God is the gardener. God will tend to you. God will feed you with fertilizer, another name for that, M. I love that word, but women and children are present. I won't go there. Used to love to say that word up in Montana because they'd said it all the time because they were cattle ranchers, right? But God feeds you with fertilizer. God feeds you with God's love and God's forgiveness and God's mercy and compassion. And the kids, this week was great because we had no meltdowns, we had no problems, nobody really got hurt. Red Rover, one little girl kind of, you know, hurt her elbow a little bit, but ice pack and she was good. It was a great week. And they came together, and that's what it was all about, was helping and being there for one another. As God's heroes, that was the theme. Read your bulletin insert. I worked hard on that. Color copy and everything. Take it home. Read the Bible passages that we had to teach. Tania Rudini was the Bible teacher, and I took over on Thursday with the Magi, which was really strange. Come and look up the Bible passage we had to teach. Midwives in Egypt? Are you kidding me? One little girl, they asked, well, what's a midwife? And she goes, they're nuns. And he's like, perfect. Great. It's a religious answer. Perfect. They're nuns. What kind of ground are you today? Hard, rocky, sandy, weedy, or good? Because the word of God, God's seed, Jesus is for everyone to receive. Amen. Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. Together we confess our faith in these same words and to remain standing for the prayers of the church also. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, remember in our prayers in the church, our bishops Elizabeth Eden and Megan Manlove. We pray this whole month for St. John's Vacation Bible School program. It just ended on Friday, but we pray for them all up until that point, and we will continue to pray for them in the next weeks to come. We pray for all 46 people who are involved in that program, students, staff, teachers, and then we also remember the parents and family. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine and those countries involved with it. The war in Sudan, people of California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, and the Gulf States, and Canada, our neighbors, suffering from heat wave and from wildfires. We certainly pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. We pray for the sick and the needy, but especially today we pray for Joseph Christian. We made that announcement last week. Joseph Christian was diagnosed the Friday before with brain cancer. He had brain surgery on Tuesday. 60% of the cancer was removed by the surgery. They're not sure what treatment's going to follow. He's now recovering in Utah. They kicked him out of the hospital on Thursday. Brain surgery Tuesday afternoon, they kick him out of the hospital on Thursday. I can't believe it. It's like women who give birth. They should go the old way of 3 weeks recovery, you know? Yeah. The husbands and the fathers could be in the waiting room with a cigar and you know, martini, but yeah, brain surgery. And then also, I have it right here, operation. So remember Joseph Christian and his family in our prayers. I'm in contact with Elizabeth. But born on Tuesday, the 11th, that was Tuesday the 11th, right? Cooper, Scott, Anderson, to our pharmacist at Rockland Pharmacy and his wife. So we remember Cooper, Scott, Anderson in our prayers also and celebrate that new life and new birth in our midst. Anne Brumfield is too young to be a great grandmother, but she is. And so we celebrate with her at Cooper's birth. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Guide your church, O God, to sow seeds of forgiveness and righteousness on good soil. Direct your people to proclaim your love in this and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Sustain your creation, O God, by sending favorable weather, causing trees to clap their hands and for the mountains to sing their songs. Instill in all people the need to be good stewards of all you give us. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, or wildfires, especially Canada, Texas, Arizona, California, Nevada, and the Gulf states. We pray for those who lost property or life due to the flooding in Vermont. Lord, in your mercy, Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire that all the peoples of the world live in peace and harmony. Guide government leaders at all levels, national, state, and local, to work for mercy, liberty for all. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, O God. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you in hope, for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Thank you for our youth, their families, and all those who provided for our Vacation Bible School program this year. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those whom we lift up in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, this morning. Today in the church year is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Ian Sloan. Happy birthday this week to Lyndon Porth and Stephen Theobald. Happy anniversary today to... Now, I may have this wrong. I typed it. Happy anniversary this week. No, happy anniversary today to Sonny and Mary Galvin. I think I got it right. Happy anniversary this week to Stuart and Elsie Pankritz, Jerry and Tony Bauer, Vincent and Jessica Harris, John and Melanie Kress. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections and additions to the ones found there? Speak now or forever hold your peace. One thing I forgot to mention is that it was retreat up at Holman Village. At Luther Heights Bible Camp. Getting to be an old man. Luther Heights Bible Camp this weekend is having women's retreat. And Marla Egbert from our community and congregation went up. I don't know how many women are up there, but we pray for their safe travels and homecomings today and tomorrow. I invite the communion assistants and the acolytes, old and new, to come forward at this time in preparation for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for the Holy Communion. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymnal, and responsibly we say the great thanksgiving. We sing the Holy, Holy, we sing the Lamb of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymnal. Page 146. Thank you. Please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
She did all the work. Scott and Ashley Anderson, we celebrate at the birth of Cooper's, and it's a true story. He was born at High Noon, so he's named Cooper, after Gary Cooper in the movie High Noon. How cool is that? I think that's so cool. I call his brother Elvis. His brother, older brother's name, now is two, I think, Everett. Okay, and he has an uncle who calls him Mount Everett. Okay, it's like Elvis. When I found out that it was gonna be a baby boy, I said, you've got Fabian coming. Elvis and Fabian, for those of you old enough to remember that, okay? But his name is Cooper Scott Anderson. The parents' name, I had a senior moment there, are Scott and Ashley Anderson. So we celebrate with them. It's exciting in the midst of everything. Yay, happy July. Our sending hymn is hymn number 744, What a Fellowship. And if I was a mean old pastor, I'd make you all sing it like good Southern Baptists. But I know you're not. So just sing it as well as you can. You know the words. It's a whole leaning thing. We did that once. If you are so prone to lean, you can go ahead and lean, okay? But 744 or 774, whatever. You know what it is. What a Fellowship. Our sending hymn. better. I know where she was raised in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Cool, cool, cool. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.